But somebody who we're going to introduce now as our final speaker, who has actually had a role in sort of charting the future, is our final speaker tonight. Ray McCann is a compliance expert with few peers in Britain today. He worked for the tax authorities for more than 30 years as an inspector, tackling cross-border avoidance and dealing with large investigations. Shortly before he left, he led the introduction of DOTAS rules, which I'm sure many of us expect to be the high watermark of anti-avoidance legislation. Little did he know at that time. Since 2006, he has worked for PwC, McGriggers, who then became Pinsent Masons, and now New Quadrant Partners. And as some of you may be aware, from 2 weeks tonight, he'll be joining the CIT's team of officers as our Vice President. Please welcome to the stage our final speaker tonight, Ray McCann.
Thank you, Chris. Good evening. It's 10 years, more or less, to the day since I left HMRC, put the pen down and walked out the door, and as Chris said, joined PwC. I spent just under 5 years in PwC trying to find the tax avoidance factory, but I never really found that. So I left the law. I left PwC, joined a law firm, and tried to find the tax avoidance factory there, and I couldn't find it there either, so I've given up looking for tax avoidance factories. I went to Bermuda a few weeks ago, and I had to be diverted around the Google Mountains, so that's about the closest I've come to tax avoidance. What a 10 years that's been. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that even if you leave aside the financial crisis, there have been scandals and shocks to the tax world that probably 10 years ago none of us would really have expected to happen, and they've just come and come and come. Judicial reviews against senior officials in HMRC, exposure of large companies doing this, that, and the next thing, and all the concern that the press, the media have expressed. And just in the last couple of weeks, Mossack Fonseca. What can you say about that? I mean, the rest will come out, no doubt. The first theme I've picked for risk, I've picked three risks, a bit like Janine. Now, some of you will agree with them, some of you won't. We'll see where we go. The first one I've got is the continual denigration of HMRC and the tax profession as a whole. It has to stop, and we collectively, we need to find a way to make that stop. It must be dreadful for some of the people in HMRC. You look at the staff survey. The only comfort I can give to Edward Troop about the staff survey is that the fact that most of them don't think the man, or a large number of them don't think the management are doing too well, is not new. Because throughout my entire time in the review, nobody ever thought the management was doing a good job. So when you take that out, the staff survey, I suppose, is not bad. I had an old boss when change management first came as a concept. Every document that had change management on it, he used to write "of." And I'll not tell you where he put that "of." The other problem, though, is HMRC's attack on tax agents. My hope is that with Edward coming in, there'll be a change there as well. Because at the end of the day, the tax system needs tax agents as much as it needs an effective HMRC. And we can't have a situation where too many tax agents think HMRC are out to get them. Because very many of those tax agents are probably justified in that thought. And if tax agents are cowed into not giving what they think is best advice to clients, then that's bad to the tax system as well. I've quoted this before, Churchill's comment, you'll never get to where you want to be if you stop to throw a stone at every dog that's barking. HMRC have got to take that on board. You can't look at every risk, you can't look at every taxpayer and ask the question, is that person, on the fiddle? I took over the clearance team in 2001 and I spent 3 months researching the rates of clearances. And I came to the conclusion after 3 months that if I just closed my eyes and cleared everything that everybody sent me, I would have a 3% error rate. And I thought that was quite good. If I'd rolled up to Dave Hartnett, who was the boss, and said, hello, Dave, we've got a 3% error rate this year, he'd have thought, as Chris has just done, well, that's a 97% success rate. You're a hero, Ray. The question that I would put is, do any of us think the tax system today is at risk of avoidance as much as it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago? HMRC's got an amazing track record in terms of success in the courts, but that has to be translated into getting rid of the vast mountain of taxpayers who are still waiting to have their day in the tribunal or to have their case settled. And very, very many of them think that they are in the right. And how we get over that big problem, I don't know. We've got wealthy clients, as we've seen, who pay huge amounts of tax. I've got clients who pay eye-watering amount of taxes, I'm sure many of you in this room have got, and they don't do any tax planning. And you even talk to them, you say, well, why don't you pay more attention to what you're paying? They don't care. And it's tens of millions in some cases. It's quite extraordinary. The second risk that I've identified here, and it's been partly mentioned by Janine, is the never-ending expansion of the tax code. When I started out as an inspector, you could carry the official copy, and if anybody remembered the HMSO official copy, it was bigger than any of the yellow books. You could carry the entire Taxes Act in your little brown case that the board used to give you when you passed your exams. It was fantastic. You'd need a transit van to carry the tax code around these days. And the revenue, as far as I can see, don't have any transit vans. They used to have little spy transit vans that used to rock on the wheels, but that was it. How do we bring that down? The ATT produced the little book every year, which is the Guide to the Finance Act. The Finance Act 2015 has got nearly 700 pages in it. And that's just 2015. We'll probably get the same in 2016. And it leads me to the conclusion that anyone who thinks they can find their way around the tax code obviously is delusional, because it's impossible. It's just all over the place and there's too much of it. Then we come to the third, and what I think is the most important of the risks that I've got. And that's the approach to risk by HMRC itself. Again, my hope with Edward is that there'll be a rebalancing of this and a greater focus on real risk. And by that, I mean actually identifying real risk and tackling real risk in a grown-up, strategic kind of way. HMRC have become wedded to the litigation and settlement strategy. I was partly involved in the drafting of it, and those of you who know me know I didn't really have a great deal of confidence that it would actually be a good thing. And my concern was, you dump it on the whole of HMRC as it was, and you have inspectors who are floundering around thinking, well, what do we do with this? And I think in large part that's what's happened. So we need a strategy for those taxpayers who won't settle, whether they're corporates or individuals, and they need to be dealt with if they're in the wrong. But we also need a strategy which clears out the vast bulk of stuff that the revenue over 100 years or so has done on a day-to-day basis and shouldn't really take up an awful lot of time. The strategy that exists at the moment has had the effect of gumming up the works to such an extent that if we all work for the next 30 years, we probably still won't clear it. So we need to address that as a problem. But then, the big shock is the people who seem to have benefited from that gumming up most are the promoters of all these schemes in the first place, because it's given them a nice little shield where they're able to see, and I've been in rooms with these people where they sit and explain to the client, oh, the revenue are all bad people and they do all this and do all that, and the clients sit there and lap it all up and think it's all fantastic because it puts off the day when the day of reckoning comes and they've got to write a cheque. So that's been mad as well. The LSS is a key tool in reducing the tax gap. Again, those who know me know that I don't have a great deal of time for the tax gap. Again, in my day, when the tax gap was in its very early stage, I was involved with some of the people who are still there working the tax gap, and I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. Last year, HMRC claimed compliance yield of 26 billion. It's an astronomical number. The tax gap is 34 billion. It was 34 billion the year before. It was 34 billion in 2004 when I introduced DOTAS. And I don't actually understand how you can bring in 26 billion and you make no material impact on the overall tax gap. Can somebody explain that to me? Because I don't understand it. So that number has to be better as well. And the importance of the tax gap is not so much the number. There's two main things that I think are important about it. And it brings me back to the first one. The importance is HMRC gears itself up and its objective is to reduce that tax gap. Now that's a laudable aim. We support that. But the problem with it is the ordinary man in the street thinks the tax gap is the wealthy. Whereas in fact, a huge chunk of the tax gap is the ordinary guy in the street who's carrying out all the everyday evasion that the tax authorities have got almost no chance of collecting on a year-by-year basis. So that needs to be changed. If I can start to pull this together, one of the advantages I get as a former HMRC inspector and my former colleagues in PwC will know this, is I operate in a get real world. And I think my clients have actually got used to it. Because, you know, I get away with making comments to clients like, you're having a laugh, and such like. And I get away with it because looking thing, oh, he's a former taxman, well, you know, I better believe that. And I still do it, and I do it all the time. And I say to clients when they come to see me, I'm probably the worst person in the whole of the UK to come and ask whether their tax planning works. Because most of the time, it doesn't work. Because a lot of the time, they've gone to the little sleazy promoters who over the years have been making millions from selling schemes. And, you know, they come to me in the hope that I've got some sort of magic fairy dust that gets them off the hook. Unfortunately, no. But, you know, we're in the situation where, you know, HMRC yields huge, huge yields. Over half of it isn't represented by any cash that's actually flowed into George Osborne's bank account. So, you know, that needs to get real as well. The HMRC needs to record what it's bringing in, what its yields are, so that we can all see precisely how effective things are being done. But the profession's not off the hook on this. During the time that I've been involved with the CIT, I've been principally involved in professional standards. And again, I apply that same get real approach there. A couple of weeks ago, I was on a radio programme, and there was an MP, funnily enough, who was quite happy to accept the idea that if it's legal, it's okay. Now, all that showed to me was a confusion in the mind of people, and it's this avoidance evasion that people are confused about where that line is. And the point I made was, well, I don't think it's simply because it's legal, it's okay. It might be okay, but it's not necessarily okay. And I think increasingly that's becoming the view of the profession. And I think there's a responsibility on us to make sure that clients recognise that simply because it's legal doesn't mean it's okay. And for us as professionals, just because you can, because you're in a privileged position with regard to your knowledge of the tax system, that doesn't mean you should. Thank you.